This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, Citizens Research Council of Michigan President Eric Lufer analyzes Proposal 3 on next week's ballot. It's designed to make it easier to register to vote and cast a ballot in Michigan. But first, next week, Michigan voters will cast their ballots to determine state and local races, as well as ballot proposals. At that point, the advertising that has been seen for several months in Southwest Michigan televisions and mailboxes will come to an end. We're going to find out a little about who is spending that money on those ads with Michigan Campaign Finance Network Director Craig Mauger. Thanks for being with us, Craig.
Hey, thank you for having me.
He is at the Michigan Public Radio Network studios in Lansing. What's the top headline here in terms of just how much money has gone into the various races in Michigan for this particular election cycle?
Yeah, I mean, I think the top headline is that the 2018 election in Michigan is going to be unlike any election the state has seen previously. I mean, there are some specific races that you can make some comparisons to in the past in terms of the amount of money. But when it comes to the campaign for these public offices, overall, we're seeing record after record for the amount of money in these races fall, and all of the indicators that, you know, we kind of track for what's happening in these races are, you know, much higher up in terms of the numbers than they were in past cycles. And we're seeing a lot of records broken, and we might see more broken when we get the final numbers. I mean, we still won't have final numbers on this election until, you know, late January. But we can already say that records are falling.
And a couple of factors that we might mention there, one being that judging by what I see, not just in your reports, but elsewhere, there are more races considered competitive this year, where both the Republicans and Democrats are pouring in a fair amount of money. And we also have three fairly contested ballot issues in Michigan, whereas in the past couple of election cycles, that part of the ballot really has not seen any action. So it's more money overall, and it's going into probably more races. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I think definitely when it comes to the races for state offices, like the state legislature, governor, and secretary of state, attorney general, there's competition heavy across the state. There's some competition in areas where we haven't seen it before. Heavy spending on TV advertising in some areas in Southeast Michigan, which is a little bit unusual compared to last election, you know, the last few election cycles. On the ballot proposals, I mean, they are attracting millions of dollars, but really the ballot proposal campaigns that we have, the three that are there, have been relatively less expensive than some of the years previously. I mean, in 2012, we had six ballot proposals, and some of those ballot proposals, individual ballot proposals, cost more than $40 million in terms of the amount of money they've attracted. I think the most we've seen in one of the proposals this year is about $18 million. So, I mean, they're down a little bit for the ballot proposals, but if you just look at the races for state offices, that's really where, you know, PACs, super PACs, and candidates are really just raking in money right now.
Well, and let's look specifically at the Michigan legislature. The legislative caucuses, these committees which raise money for House Republicans, House Democrats, Senate Republicans, Senate Democrats, how does their fundraising compare with previous election cycles?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, this is a little bit in the weeds, but it's really important. These four committees really drive the spending in races for the state legislature, including, mostly competitive races. They raise money as a caucus, and then, you know, they raise money as a caucus for years leading up to the election, and then they pour this money in the last few months before the election into the competitive seats. So these four groups have combined to raise $14.8 million as of October 20th. 14.8. Keep that in your head. The highest they've ever combined to raise at this point in the election cycle previously was about $10 million. So they're up $4 million over the previous record. That's a significant increase.
And again, we probably don't know the final number there yet, right?
No, we won't know the final number for a little while, and it'll probably end up, you know, more than $14 million, obviously, but they're going to break the record for their amount of fundraising, and there's a few reasons for that. One of them being, in 2013, the legislature doubled the contribution limits on what people can give to these committees. It went from $20,000 a year to $40,000 a year. So that's one of the main reasons that they've been able to raise more money, but there's a lot of other things at play as well.
So can somebody safely say that because of that money, that may explain why they feel they are seeing even more political advertising, if people do feel that way, this particular fall than they have in years past, especially if they say live in the 20th state Senate district here in Kalamazoo County?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely going to be, these groups drive the TV advertising. I mean, a lot of what they do with the money that they raise is give it to campaigns to spend on TV advertising or, you know, fund the advertisements directly. So if you see a lot of state legislative ads, it's likely because of these groups. You know, there are other groups involved. These aren't the only groups, but these are the main spenders on TV ads.
And over in the House, a couple of different races there here in Southwest Michigan are also seeing heavy television advertising, again, probably because these committees have a little more to spend.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's you're exactly right. I mean, we've been tracking the TV ad spending as best we can. I mean, we go through, you know, literally hundreds of public disclosures on the ad sales that TV stations and cable networks make to political campaigns to try to track this. As of October 25th, the last time we updated our numbers, we had the 20th Senate district as the fifth place among all the Senate districts in terms of the amount of TV advertising. At that point, we had them at about $500,000. And it's, you know, assuredly it's gone up since October 25th, and it will continue to go up since the election. And very close to that, the 61st State House District in the Kalamazoo area, we had that as the fifth place State House district in terms of the amount of ads that district has attracted. So, you know, those two Kalamazoo area legislative races are, you know, two of the most expensive going right now.
Does one party hold an advantage overall in terms of fundraising between these two, the Republicans or the Democrats, when it comes to these particular caucus committees?
Yeah, I mean, the Republicans hold a significant financial advantage in terms of the caucus committee fundraising. And that is not surprising, because usually the caucus that is in power is able to raise a lot more money than the caucus that is out of power. So when you look at the Senate Republicans basically control 27 of the 38 seats, and the Democrats basically control 11 seats. So they're in position to raise a lot more money than their Democratic counterparts. And they, you know, how does that play out? Well, they can run more TV ads. They can send out more mailers. You know, one thing that we've noticed this year is that the Senate Republicans were able to start their ads earlier than the Senate Democrats. So that's a little bit of an advantage. But, you know, if you follow this, there are some races where Democratic forces have been able to spend more than Republican forces. So it's not definitive across the board that they're going to outspend the Democrats in every race.
As I look at the list that you compiled last week on where this money was going, and again, it's changed since then, but it was certainly notable that the Republicans have a longer list, especially on the House Republican Campaign Committee. It includes Beth Griffin in the 66th District. We don't see her Democratic opponent show up on the Democratic side. Is this one of the advantages you do have of raising more money, is you can spread it out to some districts and perhaps ensure that they're safe for your party going forward?
Yeah, that is 100% accurate. If you have more money, you can spend in more races. You know, the only thing that I'll caution on this, I mean, this is money that's traceable, that we can really track where it's going. There are other groups that spend in these races that are much harder to track where they're spending, you know, some of the state parties. So it's very possible that the Michigan Democratic Party is spending in some of these races that don't show up on the list that we put out, and we just haven't been able to track that yet. You know, I know in the state house district that I live in, I've gotten some mailers from the state Democratic Party, but, you know, the House Democratic Fund isn't spending in the race. So, I mean, this is what we're able to track. And there's a lot of spending, of course, that we just can't track.
So let's look at congressional races for a moment. You have noted that a couple of these are record-breaking in other parts of the state, specifically where Mike Bishop is trying to get reelected in the 8th district. And then there's an open seat in the 11th around the Detroit suburbs. What has happened here? What has driven the cost of those races up so much?
Well, I mean, you know, it's hard to say exactly what's driven all of this up. But, you know, we do know that the campaign finance system has changed, and there's a lot more outside money in these races than there has been previously. So these are super PACs and outside groups. If you're in a competitive congressional district, you'll see a lot of mailers and TV ads that are sponsored by groups that are not the candidates' campaigns. So those groups can raise and spend unlimited amounts. That's been driving up the cost of these races for a while. You know, another factor is that, you know, both sides are seeing heavier competition in some of these races than they've seen previously. I mean, they're expecting the races to be closer. You know, money often follows competition. So if there are closer races, it's not surprising that you might see more money. One of the stats that, you know, I think is really fascinating as a political junkie is that, you know, since they redrew the congressional districts, we've run the 14 district races three times each. So that's 42 races. And only three of them have finished by a margin of closer than 10%. So if we do have closer races happening this year, that could be one of the reasons why there's a lot more money, and there is a lot more money. The 8th Congressional District in mid-Michigan, where Alyssa Slotkin is running against incumbent Mike Bishop, has already broken the record for the most expensive U.S. House race in Michigan history. And this was a couple of weeks ago, with weeks remaining before Election Day.
Now, the 6th Congressional District is the third most expensive, according to the latest reports. There is quite a drop off from 2 to 3, but nonetheless, a more expensive race in Southwest Michigan than we have seen in past years, with Fred Upton again seeking reelection.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this one's going to be, pretty expensive compared to what's happened in the 6th District before. And, you know, on top of this, the numbers have gone up even before we last put out a report, because some additional national groups have gotten involved in the 6th since then. So I would expect that number to, you know, we last had it at $5.4 million. I think it's going to end up much higher than that by the time it's all said and done.
And these congressional races don't get that expensive just based on the candidates alone, right? I mean, you need outside groups if you're really going to drive up the price tag ultimately on one congressional race.
Yeah, I mean, the outside spending often can account for, you know, more than half of the money in a competitive race for the U.S. House. Sometimes it can account for much more than just half the money. That's what drives up the spending. And that's what, you know, if you look at the mailers arriving in your mailbox, most of them do not say paid for by the candidate. It will say, you know, paid for by some other group that is getting involved.
So if we look at these three ballot proposals that Michigan voters will decide on November 6th, one to legalize recreational marijuana, one to change the system for redistricting, and another one which is designed to make it easier to register and then to vote, would it be fair to say that all three of those ballot proposals enjoy a financial advantage over any opposition as we're in the home stretch?
I think that is at least somewhat accurate when you look at the overall fundraising that they've done since they've launched. I mean, the campaigns in favor of the ballot proposals have been raising money for a lot longer because they've launched their campaigns, you know, in some cases over a year ago. They've had to fund, in some of the cases, the initiative to gather all of the signatures to get the proposals on the ballot. So they've been raising money for that effort for a long time. The no campaigns are able to, you know, raise their money in the last few months, and then, you know, their focus is putting out mailers, you know, TV ads, information to tell people to vote no. So I think in the case of the marijuana proposal, it kind of looks like, from an overall fundraising perspective, that the Coalition to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol, that's the Yes campaign, has a financial advantage. But, you know, in recent weeks, the Healthy and Productive Michigan campaign, the No campaign, has been able to raise a lot of money and is in a, you know, a place where they can, if not outspend them, you know, definitely compete with them over the last few weeks.
Proposal 2, the Voters Not Politicians proposal, this group has seen some pretty lofty fundraising numbers, and a lot of that money is coming in from out of state. Is that, though, a fairly typical thing, that when there's a hotly contested ballot issue, out-of-state interests do want to have a say in it and want to contribute money?
Yeah, I mean, that is fairly typical. I mean, with these ballot proposals, what we usually see is one or two nonprofit organizations or trade associations, often based outside of the state, that are the financial driver of the campaign. You know, they give the majority of the money. They're really the driving force behind the effort. That's what kind of was different about Voters Not Politicians, the redistricting campaign early on, was that it really wasn't driven by one group, a nonprofit, the funding force, or something some entity that was early on the source of the energy in the campaign. But what's changed is, you know, over the last few weeks, they've raised, you know, more than $10 million from just two groups that both aren't based in Michigan, 1630 Fund and Action Now Initiative. One's given $5.5 million to the campaign. Another's given $5.1 million. You know, since this campaign launched, the group's raised about $15 million.
The opponents of Proposal 2, is there anything in the campaign finance reports that tells us that they're getting some traction and some money to mount a serious effort against it?
You know, it's a little bit difficult to say because they are, you know, they're at a financial disadvantage here. They've raised about $1.4 million as of October 26. It's gone up since then, not up by a significant amount. You know, they 1.4 to 15, that's a huge difference. The Protect My Vote, that's the No campaign, they're getting most of their money from the Michigan Freedom Fund, a conservative group that's running TV ads and running, you know, they've run some radio ads to try to get people to vote no. Voters Not Politicians, the Yes campaign, has been running a lot more ads. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this turns out here.
Okay, let's look at the top of the ballot, the governor's race. You have told us before this had a pretty good chance to break the record for the most expensive race for governor in Michigan history. Does it look like it's on track to do that?
Yeah, it still looks like it's on track to do it. I mean, I you know, as I think about this, it's difficult to say that without couching, you know, a few things and saying, you know, one, at the end of the day, we'll probably take into account inflation. Michigan's last, you know, the most expensive race for governor currently was in 2006. It cost about $79 million. So once you take into account inflation, it might be a little bit different in terms of whether the record's broken or not. It might be a little more unclear. Right now, we're at about $75 million in this race for governor. And then the other big, you know, big detail of this, in the past years where we've had really expensive races for governor, there haven't been primary campaigns. There haven't been competitive primary races. Of course, this year, there were competitive primary races on both sides. So really, you know, in some ways, you're comparing apples to oranges. But we do have these raw numbers that $75 million in 2018, there were $79 million in 2006, $63 million in 2014. Those are kind of the raw numbers. It does seem like in some ways we'll be breaking the record, but, you know, we also have to say it's a different race than those past ones.
Also would have to throw in there in the case, especially of 2006, that you had a candidate with a lot of his own money that he could put into the race, which, you know, drove up the total amount just simply because Dick DeVos had his own fortune or a part of it that he could spend on running for governor.
Yeah, I mean, he put $35 million, he and his family put like $35 million into that race. And that's how it got up to $79 million. So, of course, that's a different race as well. You know, people might point out about this race that Sri Tanadar put $10 million of his own money into the race that drove it up a little bit. So, I mean, every race is different. It's hard to make these comparisons. But at the same time, you know, looking at these races, looking where the money has come from and how much how much has been in the races, tells you a lot about how money in politics is changing. It tells you about our elections. It tells a story about what is going on in Michigan politics, specifically in the race for the highest office in the state. So it's important to look at these things.
And some people probably heard this week about some of the problems Bill Schuette is having. You know, could we have seen that coming just looking at the campaign finance reports? Has Gretchen Whitmer been in a stronger position financially than Bill Schuette for a while?
You know, that's a really interesting question. From looking at just the TV advertising, for a while, a few weeks ago, the Republican side of this race and the Democratic side of this race, they were running about the same amount of TV ads. And then in the last couple of weeks, the Democratic side had started having a large financial advantage in terms of the TV ads that they were airing by the week. And then we got the new campaign finance disclosures on Friday night, and you could see that Bill Schuette's campaign had about $100,000 left in its account, a cash balance, at the end of the fundraising period. So you could see that's not a lot of money for a gubernatorial race. You could see that they were a little bit low on funds at that point. But, you know, there are other groups running ads. The Michigan Republican Party has been running ads. The Republican Governors Association has been running ads. So just looking at the candidates' fundraising numbers doesn't tell the whole story. But also, Whitmer's campaign had a lot more money still available.
Craig Mauger is the director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. As always, thank you for your time, Craig.
Hey, thank you so much.
Craig Mauger joined us from the Michigan Public Radio Network studios in Lansing. The Michigan Campaign Finance Network's reports can be found at mcfn.org. Links are also available at wmuk.org.